Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf test. We're holding the bottom line on Ches Amid Beis. And the Gemara is going to tell us three stories which are almost identical, at least in the law, even though slightly different in the facts, as to someone who wanted to go Mimekadosh to Seisha, and she answered in a very neutral fashion, and we'll see what the ramifications were. So Gemara tells this last line of Ches Amid Beis, Ahu Gavra, to have a Kamazvin Chumri Paschiosa. From Rashi is Mashma, that Rashi had a slightly different girsa, either Chumri or Paschiosa, but our Gemara has both Chumri and Paschiosa. What are these? So Rashi explains that Chumri are buttons which are made out of tin. And people that wanted to buy those buttons, they were typically strung on a string, and often the mocher, the seller, would put them around his neck just like a necklace for people that were interested in buying these types of tin buttons. Alternatively, or in addition, people also used to go and buy small glass beads, which were also strung on such a necklace type of string, and these were for sale. If you look at the Tap Rashi, Chumri are buttons. She'oisin shel bedil. Bedil means out of tin. V'chorzin harbe mehen b'chut echad. And you go and string many of them on one string. You have in Masechtis Bav Metzia, machroizis shel dogim, where they used to go and sell fish also strung up on a long string. V'oisin oisik kimin anak. Anak is a necklace. V'noisin mitzavarei limkar. They put it around their necks, not because it's particularly beautiful or ornamental, but that's a simple way of people seeing the necklace with all of these tin buttons, and they buy it. The Yesh Garsim, there's another girsa, in other words, Mashu from Rashi, it's one or the other, but we have both in our Gemara. The Yesh Garsim Paschiosa, Behen Shel Schuches. This is made out of glass, K'min Tabo'ois, like small little rings, Dakim, small ones, V'koin Oisei Purils, which could be related to the word pearls. Anyway, so you have a person, a lady goes into a store, and she sees that the seller is selling this beautiful necklace, either with the tin buttons or with the glass beads or the glass rings, and it appeals to her. And a lady comes in, Umrale, and she says to him, Havli Chatshucha, I'd be interested in getting one full necklace, one full string with all of these tin buttons or the glass beads or glass rings. Umrale, he says to her, you know what? I'll give it to you for free if you agree to go and marry me. In other words, instead of my giving you $100 or putting a ring on your finger, I'll give you the necklace. And hurry up mikudeshesli. Omolo, ivehinna loch mikudeshesli. If I give it to you and don't charge you, will you take that bimkoin kesef kedushin? So instead of saying yes or no, or maybe so, she said, omrale, hava mehava. Give it, a double loshin. Give it. So what does that mean? Omrav chama, kol hava mehava. Any type of give it, lav klumhu. That means it's nothing. In other words, she's basically turning him down, and she doesn't even honor his proposal with a response. She just says, you know, in Yiddish it would say, Dreimenish kakob, just give the goods and let me out of here. I'm not interested in your proposal. So this is one story. Now we get another two stories, almost identical. Hu gavra dave koshosi chamro bechanuta. There was a person that was drinking wine in a store. In other words, like in a bar, a lady comes in, and she says to him, Havali chad kasa. Oh, I see you bought a whole bottle of wine. Could you please give me one kas? Again, if I give you one kas of wine, mikachisli, would you agree to marry me? Omrelein, she said, Ashkuye ashkoyen. Give me to drink. Omrav chama, same Rav chama as before. Kol ashkuye ashkoyen, lav klumhu. This is gonished. She's not acquiescing in the shidduch. She's not totally rejecting him. Just by saying, Ashki and Mashke means, you know, don't bother me. I want a cup of wine and let's move on. So that's the second case. Now we have a third case. It was a person who was at the top of a tree, and he was throwing dates down from the top of the tree. I saw you, Itza, ladies come by, can you go and throw me two dates? Shelly, we don't mean two dates to go and meet on a date. I'd like to have two dates to be able to go and eat. So Amalah, so he said to her, if I throw you two dates, which presumably had the value of at least a shava pruta, would you marry me? Amrele shadi mishta, just throw it down. It's Amrav Zvid, kol shadi mishta, lav klumu. Rav Zvid said, like Rav Chama before, this is goodish. So now, number one, why do we have to have three cases really to illustrate the exact same concept? So the second toisis here on the top of the Amrit says, as you see, kol ashki ashkuye, hanach tlas uvdi itz terich la'ashmin. And why do I need three cases? To b'shum dover ein moyel loy b'mide d'achila ushtia v'loy b'shar mili. Anytime you give such a response of, like we had in the Gemara, three responses, havi meheva, just give me the necklace, ashkuye mashkin, go and give me some drink, havoi shodi mishda, just throw me the dates. No matter what sphere you're talking about, whether you're talking about food, you're talking about drink, or you're talking about these tin buttons, etc., this double lashon that one says, just hand over the goods, this is meant in a subtle way, or perhaps not such a subtle way, I'm not interested in getting married to you. So that's why the Gemara repeats it three times, to tell you that it's in all different categories of commodity goods, consumer goods. Iboiluhu, let me ask you a question, says he. Yes?
Excuse me. In the Chumash, when Esav sells his Bechora,
no.
Why do we not say then that it's meaningless? He says, you know, give me some of that stew.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that considered a good mecher then? Mm-hmm. And in the first case, did the woman pay for the buttons, or did she just take them?
Well, either it was given to her as a matana, or he sold it. He certainly didn't give it to her just if she's... He proposed to her that I want to give you the buttons, and with that you'll be mekudesh to me. And she said no. She didn't say no, but she said just hand over the goods. Whether or not he charged her, whether he took a tax, and whether he put it into a nice plastic bag, the Gemara doesn't go into that level of detail. But all we know is from these three different cases, and each case, the fact that she did not respond positively. That was deemed to be a negative response, and therefore they're not married. Lav klumu. The case of Esav, I'd have to look up the psukim, and maybe there are mefarshim that discuss that in greater detail. But for purposes of our Gemara, we see that this expression of just hand over the goods means I'm not interested. Now the question of the Gemara is, do you have to say it twice? Because notice in each case was hove miheva, ashkian ashkuyin, and the third case was Havoi, what was Loshin, Mishta, Shadi, Mishta. See, Boiluhu, Hav, Ashki, Vishadi, Mal. Instead of saying it twice, what happens if she just said once, hand over the goods? Does that make any difference? Amravina, Mikudeshes. Then it would, in fact, be Mikudeshes by the fact that she doesn't say it twice. She says it once. She needs to say, yeah, please give me the buttons, give me the wine, give me the dates, and I'm masking to the Shidduch. Rav Sama Barak's Amar Tona, I'm sorry, Taga de Malka. Taga de Malka, Rashi explains, means I'm swearing in the crown of the king. Eina Mekudeshes. Now, it makes a difference whether you say hand over the goods once or hand over the goods twice. It's all the same. When she doesn't say yes to the proposal, that means she is rejecting the proposal. The Hilchos Analochi is Eina Mekudeshes. In other words, we paskin like Rav Sama Barak's. And by the way, we also paskin that shiroi, the silken garments that we spoke about yesterday, machloikis, rabbi, Rav Yosef. Do you have to have an appraisal prior to handing over the goods at the chasana? Machloikis says, Imara shiroi loy tzrichi shuma. We do not need shuma. You do not need an appraisal. Let's just stop here for 1 second. So why don't you need an appraisal? Because you assume that it's worth at least something, and if she accepts it, you have your shava pruta. If you notice, there's a long toisis over here. Just go about two or three lines lower in the toisis where we are. It's about halfway down. The Torah says, "Va'oyim Rebbein Etam." I hope everybody has that. "Va'oyim Rebbein Etam." The Os Lashem Ina the Davke Shiroi Hu the Loi Tzrichi Shuma. That's only when you're talking about silken garments. The Lefisha Shemasin Yedua Ktsas. When I see a silk garment, I don't know exactly how much it's worth, but it's got to be worth it. Why? At least $25, at least $50. Maybe if it's a Gucci or a Calvin Klein or something like that, maybe it's worth even more. But at least you have at least some kind of a basic idea. You're not going to make a crazy appraisal and say to yourself, oh, this must be worth $1,000 when it's only worth $10. And that's impossible. If you're talking about a diamond ring, you're talking about pearls, some of them are really inferior goods. You could easily make a mistake far more than their value. Then you do need shuma mishum tolei samcha daita. She may think in her mind that this is worth $10,000, and then you bring it to 47th Street and say, I'm sorry, young lady, there's so many imperfections, you got to pay me to take it from you. And that's why the minig is, ad hayom hazeh, that the chosin gives the kala a plain ring without any diamonds, without any pearls, without any precious gems, just the ring itself. Because when you see a silver ring, you say to yourself, I don't know, maybe it's worth $100, $200. You know that it's not worth $50,000, but if you give a diamond ring, you don't know what the grading is and the size and the quality and the blah, blah. That's why you have to get a GIA certificate to figure out how much it's worth, and then you have to take out the Rappaport report to see how much they charge per carat and half carat and this and that, the other thing. Anyway, so if anybody ever stops you at a chasana and says, how come you don't have a diamond ring given for the marriage? Diamond ring you usually give for the engagement. For the marriage, you give a simple ring. Isn't that kind of in a hapachu? You would think at the wedding you'd give an expensive ring. It's this toisis and this gemara, boysai. You tell them because that you don't need an appraisal certificate is only by shiroi because you know more or less how much it costs. However, when it comes to diamonds, oh, then you would need an appraisal. That's why our Gemara says you don't need an appraisal. Shiroi lo tzvichi shuma. But a diamond, you would need an appraisal. Oh, since they didn't have GIA certificates at the time of Toysus, Toysus says the minig is just give a plain ring without any stones on it.
Is the possibility that the ring might be effectively less than shvei prutah?
I'm assuming that the Gemara is assuming that any type of normal metal ring has got to be worth more than a shvei prutah, even if
metal, yes, but a ring with a stone might be less than shvei prutah.
No, it's not that. We didn't have the pleasure and privilege and honor of your company yesterday. However, what the Gemara said about Shiro yesterday was that the woman might not be some chadaita, which means she looks at the diamond ring or the shiroi and she said, I don't really know how much this is worth. I thought my chassan is a multimillionaire and that he's going to give me something very expensive. But I look at the goods now, I'm not really sure. I have to go and have this appraised. And so therefore, she may have a cooling of her feet. She has cool feet going into this chasana. She may not be Samech Das. Anyway. Yes, yes.
What does this mean, that she's not Samech Das? Ashome Prute, she was Mekabel. Ezeh Tariat Mekudesh Esli. So we do not know how much this is really worth. It's $40,000 or $50,000. This is the problem. Aloch Lemaise, what are we worried about? I don't understand.
In the secular marriages, when the husband says or the chosen says to the kala, I don't know the exact lashon, but it's more or less, do you want to go and marry me? And she has to say, I do. In the Yiddish chasen lahavli, you don't say I do. All he does is he puts on the ring, Hayab Kadesh Libet Abbasu, to ask Moshe Yisrael, and then she smiles. And then perhaps they say Mekudeshes, perhaps they don't say Mekudeshes. Now in her mind, if she was under the impression that she was going to get something really luxurious, and she gets something which may not look like that, she says to herself, Of course I know that the minimum is a Shava Pruta, but I never would marry a chassan that's only getting a Shava Pruta. It's implicit in her taking this particular chassan and agreeing to the marriage that she expected to receive the equivalent of at least $100, a mona under the chuppah. And when he gives her less, or she suspects that this is not worth that amount, she may be silently saying to herself, I don't think that this marriage is going to last. So in other words, since you know you cannot be mekadesh as a isha bal karcha, it has to be midata. If she has any doubts in her mind about this shidduch at the time of the marriage, then in fact it would not be a good marriage, because it's got to be midata that she's maskin. Maybe she's not maskin. She's not verbalizing it because she's saying, I don't know whether this ring is worth the $100 that I thought it would be ring. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I'm not going to make a big fuss now because everybody wants to is waiting to go and say, Mazel Tov! And for the breaking of the glass. But she, in fact, in mind, she may not be accepting the Kesef Kiddushin. And if she's not, then the Kiddushin is not Chal. And therefore, they're not married. So for the next 50 years, they will be living in sin and not with the, blessing of holy matrimony. Did I tell you the story of Mendy Pollack? The story of Mendy Pollack is a moira de kamasa. As you know, every single chassan that you go to, you always have to have two people appointed as Eidim. Okay, so we all know that. You have Eidim and you have Masada Kedushin, and six or seven people are called up for the Sheva Brocha. So, okay, Mazel Tov, Gevalt. Anyway, Mendy was at a chassana, and the one of the Mechutanim was mechabed him to be one of the Eidim. Mendy happens to have been a brother-in-law of the Mechutan. As you know, there are different types of brothers-in-law. You can have a brother-in-law where it's your wife's brother is your brother-in-law. Or you can have two unrelated men that are married to two sisters, and that's how they become a brother-in-law. Anyway, when the Mechutan was mechabedim to be one of the Eidim, Mendy went over to the Masada Kedushin and said to him, by the way, he was mechabed me to be an aid, but I'm a brother-in-law. Is this okay? Is that a problem? So as my father, Zichron Lavrocha, used to say, the rabbi that was the Masada Kedushin wasn't a major league rabbi, he was a minor league rabbi. So the rabbi asked Mendy, how are you brothers-in-law? And he explained to him one of the two ways. So he said, no, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. No, that's fine. It's the other way that is a problem, but this is not a problem. Okay. The rabbi says, it's okay. So Mendy was the aide, and everything is fine. Fast forward 5 years later, Mendy is learning Masechta Sanhedrin, and he comes across a Mishnah where the Mishnah says, the Elohim psula li'edis. The following apostle li'edis because of kurva, because of kriven. A father and a son, and two brothers, and this and that, and a ganze maisa. And then it says, both brothers-in-law, both chi ishtoi and also gisoi, both brothers-in-law. So Mendy says, oh, so I was posel eidus. Is this halacha l'maisa, or is this just a Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin? So Mendy calls up Rav Hillel David, Tilzayin Gezunt, a famous poisik in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, and he tells him, tell me, is the halacha like this Mishnah, the both brothers-in-law? Yeah, it's posel eidus, it's posel eidus. So Mendy said, well, 5 years ago I was at a chassan and I was the eid. So Rabbi Hillel David says, bring the chus and kala, husband and wife, back today, and let's go and do a new remarriage. In other words, we're going to perform the ceremony all over again. Now, this was the cheapest wedding in history. No photographers, and no invitations, and no fancy blimen, fancy flowers, and no 12-piece band. Anyway, so they made the chassan all over again 5 years later. But what's the punchline? The punchline is that 9 months later, they had their first child. For the 5 years, they didn't have any children. 9 months later, they had the first child. What's the reason for that? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want them to have a child that would be pogum. They wanted that the child should be, it wouldn't have been a mamzer, but it would have been a pogum. They wouldn't have had the benefit of a chasana. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, we'll wait until they're finally officially married, really married, and then they're going to have a child. So why am I saying this to you? Responding to your question, if she, in fact, is not soy mechdas, and she's not masking to the marriage, even if they live together, they are not married. He'd have to go and buy her a new ring until they would be married. And therefore, Chas V'Shalom, any children that they have would all be pigumim. So having said all of that, let's get back to the Gemara, and we're up to one line before the two dots, where the Gemara says Vehilchasa ki Reb Lozer. Now who is Reb Lozer? So Rashi tells us, for all those that have forgotten, like me, that Reb Lozer we had yesterday in the daf, where it says that if the chosin says to the kala, Hiskat Shali Bimana, I'm going to give you $100 and you should be miskadish, and she's maskim, the nosan la dinner, and he only gave her a dinner, so we had Reb Lozer said, Arizumu kudashes v'yashlim, the dinner is considered to be a down payment towards the mana, and she's Mekudish, but of course he has to be mashal, he has to give the other 99 dinner within a reasonable period of time, a week or month, whatever, because since they agreed to a mana, you gotta give a mana. However, Mekudish immediately, as soon as he gives her the dinner. That's Reb Lozer. V'ilchasa k'rava Omer Rav Nachman. What is Rav Omer Rav Nachman? We also had that what happens if a chosin says to kala, I'm going to give you a mana, and she is delighted. She's going to get a mana. Wow! Instead of a prut or a dinner, she's going to get, that's a lot of mana. It's a lot of money. And therefore, she's very happy. And then it comes the wedding day, and she says, no, where's the mana? He says, unfortunately, I'm out of cash for the month. However, I give you a mashkin. I give you my watch, which is worth $100. Is she mekudeshes or not? Ligmora said, no, not mekudeshes. Why? Because he didn't give her anything. He didn't give her collateral to keep. Remember, the Gemara later on said, if he had collateral from somebody else's choiv, says Reb Yitzchak, and choti et tzedakah, that's, then that mashkin belongs to him. However, this mashkin over here, he didn't intend this to be mekadish with that mashkin. He intended mekadish with money. He didn't have money. He had collateral. Okay, we'll wait until he gets the money, and then they'll get married. But in the meantime, einam mekudesh. Okay, we're up to Tan Rabban. Look, Gemara, we said yesterday, in the last couple of days, that you can be Mekadesh Bishtar, and the Gemara learned it from Havayi Litzia. Says Gemara, Tan Rabban Bishtar, Ketzad, how are you Mekadesh Bishtar? Kosev lo yal niyor, o yal acheres. Av bishein bo yishev apruta. In other words, there is no fancy schmancy papyrus or cloth parchment that you have to write it on. You can write it on a piece of paper. You can write it on a shard. What do you have to write on it? Because you have to say Hariyat Mekudeshesli. Or, in the case of Ketana or Naru, you have to say Bitcha. Continues the Brisa. Alpha Bishem Bishem Pruta. Even though the Niyar itself is worthless, it's worth less than a Pruta. Bitcha Mekudeshesli. Bitcha Muresli. Bitcha Lili Insu. Again, we're talking about someone who's being Mekadesh, Ketana or Naru, and therefore he's giving the Shtar to the father. That's why he uses the expression Bitcha, Bitcha, Bitcha. Hariyat Mekudeshes, that works. The kinyan of shtar does not require a minimum of a shava pruta. Shtar works. Masul Reb Zeira by Mabel. Holy dummy, high shtar, the shtar is vini. This form of shtar is different than your normal shtar mecher. The reason why the Gemara is comparing it to a shtar mecher, presumably, is because we learn, just like we learn Havayi Yilitzia, we're also makish Havayis lahadodi. What means makish Havayis lahadodi? That means that the three forms of kin kedushin also have a certain commonality. So our Gemara says, well, just like a shtar, just like a, how do you learn hilchois kesef by kedushin? You learn that from kicha kicha misteyefrin by a soda. Guess what? When you're writing out a shtar for a soda, the one that writes it says Gemara hasim moicher kosev loy. It's the moicher, the seller, who writes the. He sells the property to the buyer, and he writes in the shtar, Sodi Mechuraloch, my soda is sold to you. Okay, so that's the normal form of making a transaction with the shtar. But hach, in our case, Baal Koisev Bitcha Mekudeshesli. After all, who is the seller, if you will? If you have a father that has a daughter, and he is selling her to the chosin, so that the chosin should go and get married, and the chosin is paying the father for that privilege to go marry her. Oh, so then the seller is the father. So the father should be writing out the shtar, not the chosin. So the chosin, if you will, is like the purchaser. So says the Gemara, the two shtaris are different. This shtar is written by the moicher, and this one is written by the lekeach. Hachabal koisid bitchum kodashesli. So what's going on? Amarava, Rava says this is not a real difficult question. Hasaminyana dekra, vachaminyana dekra. we'll look at the psukim and you'll see it's wholly appropriate to go and buy a soda that the moicha should write out the shtar, and by kedushin that the lekeach, meaning the chosid, should write out the shtar. Where do you see that? Chosid, when you're talking about, for instance, buying or selling either an eved or a field, it says umocha me'achuzosai. If you look at the Ois Aleph, the Torah Orach Sholem, ki yomoch achicha umocha me'achuzosai. Nebuch, your brother has become poor, and he has a stay achuza that he inherited from his father, who inherited from his father, all the way back to Yeshua ben Nun, and now he unfortunately has become so poor he has to go and sell his achuza. So the Pasuk says that the rest of the family should try to do what they can to collect funds to get the stay achuza back. Anyway, therefore, who is the one that's selling? The seller, umocher mechuzase, is b'moicha tole rachmana. Since the Torah talks about the sale taking place at the initiative of the moicher, so it makes sense that the moicher writes out the shtar, even though the pasuk doesn't say anything about the shtar, but it makes sense, put two and two together, the moicher writes out the shtar. Hochek siv, in our case, it says, ki yikach ish isha uva ola. So who's doing the initiative, who's taking the initiative? It's the Baal, it's the Chosin. The Baal told the Rachmana. So therefore it makes sense that in the case of Mechiras Hasode, it's the Moicha that writes out the shtar. In the case of the Lekichas Ho'isha, it makes sense that the Baal writes out the shtar, just from the Loshon HaPosik. Frank Gemara, if you're just basing the Loshon HaPosik, Hasan Namik said when it comes to a field, it says, Sodois Bakesef Yiknu. Yiknu means they will buy the Sodois with money. Now, who buys the sadeis? Lekeach. So don't say that the moicher has to take the initiative and therefore he has to write out the shtar. Maybe the lekeach takes the initiative and he should write out the shtar. Says Yimara, nishkeferlech, kri be yikonu. Let's go and change the reading of the pasuk yiknu into yikonu. Yikonu means that it will be purchased. In other words, it's not, quoting Barry, we're not talking about the gavra, we're talking about the chefza. Not that the lekeach is paying money, but we're saying you want to buy sodois, but kesef yikanu, you got to pay money for it, and therefore we're not therefore referring to the kona or the lekeach. We're just talking about the way to go and be koina field. At least one of the three ways is bekesef. So therefore you have no raya that you're talking about the lekeach. Which posik, however, is more incisive? The first pasuk, umocha mechuzasai, that's the moicher. And this son of Bekesev Yignu says, worry, if you read it, Yikanu, is lav davka, that the lekeach plays a major role. Frankly, when my time occurs to be Yikanu, why did you decide now to go make a zakrik siv Yignu Yikanu? Mishem lechsev umocha. Because you felt that that was at odds with umocha. The moicher says that the moicher tol rachman. And here it says, son of Bekesev Yignu, sounds that the Kona or the Lekeach, Tol Rachmana. So tomorrow, if that's the case, Hachanami, take the posik by the Chosin, Ki Yikach, B'Baal Tol Rachmana, Kribe Ki Yakach, or Yukach. In other words, don't say Ki Yikach, that the husband is taking the wife, say that the wife is being taken by the husband. In other words, a Lashon Nifal, or a Lashon Hifil, but not a Lashon Kal. If you're going to do that, then you can therefore reverse that posik as well. And the chsiv, and I have even a basis for doing that, because the pasuk says it's bitinusat l'ishazeh. See, here we're talking about again the father, and the father is taking the initiative to go and sell his daughter, so to speak, into marriage. So that's the case. Don't bring me a raya from umocha mechuzasai b'moicha. Ki yikach b'baal tol rachmana. I could turn everything over on its head. I could say that when it comes to sodois, bekesef yiknu, it's really the lokeach. So he should have to write out the shtar. It really means yikanu. No, let's see the other pasuk. It's beaten as after the shazah. I see again it's the kona, the baal, or the father, that does it. So it's the father that does it, and not the baal. So Frank, I don't really have any clear rayas one way from the other, from either pasuk. And therefore, elomarova hilchas aninimas b'chinu rabbanakrei. The truth of the matter is that by a shtar mecher, it's the moicher that writes it. And by the shtar kedushin, it's the baal that writes it. That's a loch lomoish misinai. However, the Rabbanan wanted to go and find some sort of asmachta, so matugishtelt asmachta pasuk mocher mechuzalsoi, and this pasuk yikach, but really it's based on halacha l'moshe b'sinai. The iboy yisema, and the Gemara says, no, you don't have to come on to that. Hasan namiksev v'ekach ha-sefer ha-mikna. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means to say is that when you said about umocher me'achuzasev v'moichet ol rachmana, and then you started doubting that by saying, but I have another sadis by kesef yiknu, says the Gemara, I have a decisive pasuk that really knocks the nail on the head. Why? V'ekach ha-sefer ha-mikna. What's a raya from this? Shlomo, great to see your granddaughter, Kanayin Har, lots of nachas. Beginning to Be'ekach HaSefer HaMikna, so Rashi explains that this is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and Yirmiyah is referring to a transaction where he bought himself a field from his uncle Hanamel. He bought it from Hanamel. Okay, and it says to close the transaction, it says Yirmiyah, Bo'ekach, and I took the Sefer HaMikna. Sefer Mikna means the Sefer that was composed by the Moichet. Because if I composed it, Yermia, it wouldn't be Vo'ekach, it would be Vo'etein. I would have given the Sefer Mikna. But by the fact that it says that I took the Sefer Mikna, that means that Hanamel, the Moichet, wrote it. Ah, so that's a crystal clear pasuk. So, Mocher Me'achuzasoi, it's true that the Moicher is the one that's selling, but it doesn't say that he writes the shtar. But here I have a conclusive pasuk. Here it's clear that the Moicher writes the pasuk, writes the shtar. So I don't need to come on to Umochar Mechuzelsa, I don't need to come on to Sodis Bekesef Yiknu, I don't have to say Yikanu. It's clear, cut in that case, that the Moicher writes out the shtar. In our case, however, it's the Baal that writes out the shtar. Why? Because I learn Havayi Yitziyah, and just like when it talks about going and separating and divorcing the woman, he has to write it because of the law. Here too, because of law, he writes out the Shtar Kiddush. Next year. Lady, please put yourself on mute. The Yom Yom Rav Nachman. Okay. Now, Me'inyin Le'inyin B'Oisinyin. The Reish over here is talking about a girl who is still a Nara or a Ketana. And as we know, as we've learned before, that if the girl is a Ketana or a Nara, it's Bitin Asatel Ishazeh. And he also learned from the other Pasuk, Yotzachinam Ein Kosev, that both by a Ketana and by a Nara, the father has all the rights to marry her off. Okay, so what happens now? The chosin writes in a piece of paper, in the yard, al cheres, that bitchum kadeshli, bitchum resesli, bitchum liyimtsu. This works ben ayidei avia, sigh through the father, because the father is in charge, and also ben ayidei atzma, the na'ara, because the na'ara, although her rights are given over to the father can go and appoint her. After all, she's already bat mitzvah, so ben ha'idiyatzvah, it would work if she's mekabel, the kesef kedushin. If she's a ketana, she couldn't, because a ketana can't be a shliach, the ketana cannot la ben ha'idiyah, but a nara, it would work. Fine. So those are the lishayas. Now it says in the Gemara, ben ha'idiyah via ben ha'idiyatzvah, mekudeshes midatoi. Midatoi means that it has to be with his consent, his acquiescence. It doesn't have to be midata, because since she's a ketana or an ara, all of the rights of kedushin are in the hands of the father. If the father likes the shidduch, makes a difference whether the daughter is happy or not. Hopefully she will be happy. But in this case, zoktach the Rava Nachman, v'hu shalei bagra. But remember, it's got to be that she's not a boikeres yet, because once she's a boikeres, she's now independent, she's on her own. And therefore, says Taka the Brisa in the Sefer, oh, she's already older, it's no longer bitcha, I'm marrying you. Since she is already a boigeres, she can appoint her father to be her shliach, so the father or she herself can do the marriage. In this case, it's got to be midato, not midato. It's got to be midato. Why? Because she's already a boikeres. Once she's a boikeres, then she has to be maskim to the shidduch, not the father. The father, we don't really care. It's the important thing is the daughter. Okay, so you more about it. Boy, Reb Shimon Lakish. Shtar Erisin Shikosvi Shaloi Lishma Mahu. Shtar Erisin was written Shaloi Lishma. In other words, the shtar that we were talking about. Remember, Rabbi said when it says Erisin, it doesn't mean Erisin like we use the term today. Today we use the term Erisin to refer to an engagement. We're not talking engagement, we're talking about a real marriage. Kesef Bishtar Ubabia. This is a shtar Kedushin. So Shtar Erisin Shikosvi Shaloi Lishma. The woman means Shaloi Lishma. Rashi says, Shenichlev l'shem ish acheres v'nimlach. Yaakov wanted to go and marry Ruchel, and therefore Yaakov wrote out a nice shtar, Ruchel hariat mukdeshesli. And guess what happened? After he met Ruchel, or after he met her a few times, he changed his mind. He says, "I didn't mean this Ruchel. I want another Ruchel." And he found another Ruchel, and he said, "Why should I throw out the first shtar? I can reuse it or use it for the first time." So, can you do something like that? Mal, havoyis liyetziyos makshinan, awi makish havayi liyetziya, in other words, the shtar kiddushin to the shtar get. Ma yetziya, we know it has to be lishma. How do we know tziya b'in lishma? It says in the pasuk, v'kosav lo, and we darsh lo lishma, es havayi also b'in lishma. Therefore, havayi also requires lishma. Therefore, make sure when the sofer writes out the shtar, he has in mind the first rochel, and not the second Rachel, or vice versa, the second and not the first. But if, in fact, you want to use a shtar for a different Rachel, no good, it's not Lishma. Or, Oidilma Havayis La'adodi Makshinen. Or do you say that, I makish Havayis La'adodi? That means one form of Kedushin to another form of Kedushin. One form of Kedushin is, of course, the Kedushin Mishtar that we've been talking about. But there's another form of Kedushin called Kesef. Ma'avai de Kesel Abinu Lishma. When you're giving kesef, it doesn't have to be lishma. What does that mean, it doesn't have to be lishma? Of course, when you say, hariat mekudesh esli, avad that he has to have lishma, lishem, this woman, that goes without saying. However, it says Rashi that the tzuris hamadbeya was not tavu lishma. When in Washington, where in the, that special department where they go and manufacture the coins, you know, the minting place.
The mint, exactly.
Thank you. That's what I meant. I meant the mint. Thank you. So, at the mint, do we go and tell the person who is in charge of the machines over there, by the way, I see you're printing up or minting now some new quarters. Today, a penny, they say, is not a shava pruta anymore today. The penny is basically worthless. The question is whether a dollar has any value since we have $20 trillion worth of debt. But that's a discussion for another time. Anyway, so when they're minting the silver dollar, I go over to the minter, the person who's there at the mint. I say to him, I intend using this silver dollar next week to go and marry my wife, Kinandu. However, it's got to be lishma. I heard that there's a brisk or chumra that the kesef itself has to be lishma. I want you to have in mind now that this coin that you are now coining and minting is lishem Kinandu. Is that required? Says Agamari, it is not required. No, so just like kesef is not required to be lishma, so the shtar also doesn't have to be lishma. So that's the Gemara Shaila. Dilmech havayis ladali makshinin. Ma havayi dekes labin lishma, havayi dekes labin lishma. Vasa debayi hoda pashta. Havayi litziya makshinin liyom makra viyotsu v'hoysa. The Gemara, eventually this man diyomaru asked the Shaila, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, he eventually decided, like the first tzad, that since I learned the din of shtar havayi liyitziya, and just like the yitziya has to be done lishma because of law, so too when you're writing out a shtar kiddushin, it has to be written lishma v'yotzvoyse. Next shikl itmar kosvul lishma v'shalim midato v'takeroru lishma. We have no problem with lishma. Reish Lakish is right. Written lishma. However, shalim midato. Shalim midato means without her knowledge. Not that we're trying to deceive her or fool her, but rather the chosin said to the wife, I'm not going to go and give you kesef kedushin because at the moment I have no cash, I'm a little bit cash tight, but I'm going to be mekadesh you with shtar. Fine, okay, I accept that. I see you're an honorable individual, a Yid Talmud Chacham, and I'm sure things will turn around quickly, you'll have a lot of cash. Fine, you can give me a shtar, no problem. Fine. Now, when he goes to the Soifa to write out the shtar, he didn't tell her anything about the writing out of the shtar. And therefore, says the Gemara, it was written shaloi midata. Not that it was written without her consent, it was written without her knowledge. She just didn't know that he is going to write out the shtar today, tomorrow, whatever. Maybe she didn't even know he was going to be the Kaddisha with the shtar. Maybe she thought, in fact, she would get a ring, or whatever. Anyway, shaloi midata. Rav Arvino Amri Mekudeshes. It works. You don't have to have her das at the time of the writing of the shtar. Rav Papa Rav Sharvi Amri Eina Mekudeshes. No, it doesn't work. This shtar is possible. Why? So Rav Papa is the one that said he was part of the second pair, right? We had two pairs here. We had Rav and Ravina, and we had Rav Papa and Rav Sharvia. So Amr Rav Papa, Eima Tama Ditu, the Eima Tama Didi. I'm going to tell you the reason for Rav and Ravina that they said Mekudeshes, and I'm going to tell you my reason that I, Rav Papa and Rav Sharvia, hold that it is Eina Mekudeshes. Eima Tama Ditu, Dichsi Biyotzu V'Hoysa. When you're going and giving a get, the get has to be written lishma because of law. But when you're giving it to her, you don't have to have her consent or acquiescence. You certainly don't need her for the writing of the shtar. She doesn't have to be present or know about it. She just gets it. It's lishma v'shalei midata. The imita is period. So af havaya, the same thing applies to a shtar kedushin. It has to be written lishma. That's what Rish Lakish concluded. But for shalei midata, she doesn't have to know that it's being written. It just has to be written. Give it over, and we're done. Hariyat mekudeshes. She agrees to accept it. It doesn't have to be midat. So that's the svara of Rav and Ravina mekudeshes. They mitamad di viyatsu b'hoisa makish vayitziya mayitziya beinan das makna afavaya beinan das makna and taka makish vayitziya like we said before, but just like yitziya beinan das makna. Who is the makna in the case of the Yitzir? It's the husband, the Baal, who's being makna his wife to freedom. He's saying, I'm now freeing you, I'm being makna you to yourself. You're no longer my chattel, so to speak. Now you're independent, you are free. So he's being makna her. So you need his das. You don't need her das. Afabaya be'ina das makna. Now who is the one that is being makna over here? She is being makna her freedom to him. Until now she was a penuya. She could have married any Jew throughout the world. Now she says, however, no. I'm going to be makna myself to you, my dear chasson. So since she's the one that's being makna, so you need the das makna. So if she didn't know that this shtar was being written, then no good, eina mikudeshes. Break the mar meisvei. L'choyra have a brisa directly on point. Ein koisich dori erisin v'nisuin elamidash neyan. You can only write out a shtar erisin v'nisuin with their das. No, if that's the case, my love story, Eris Venisun, Mamish, are we talking about real McCoy, the real stories? And it says you have to have the das. So the Choyra Bishtar, Karaita, Rapop of Rav Sharvia, Akasha and Rava and Ravino. Now, before we continue on, I understand what story Erisin are. But what is story Nisuin? I thought the only way that you can make Nisuin is through Chuppah. What is this story Nisuin all about? So, in fact, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's not goyris nisuin. Rashi's about 10 lines higher than where we are in the Gemara. It's about halfway down the middle, these narrow lines. Ma'i lab shtari erisin mamish ki goyin bitchum kodeshesli. And therefore there's no word nisuin. Rashi leaves out the word nisuin. But our Gemara does have the word nisuin. What is shtari nisuin? So some of the mafarshim say shtari nisuin is referring to eksuba, that you're giving at the time of the chasana, like we have today, that the hand of the ksuba, the chasana, give the ksuba to the wife. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, Zok Gemara, my love, shtari erisin nisuin mamish, and therefore you have a clear-cut raya, that it's got to be written midashneyan, and therefore Rav Papa and Rav Sharvi are right, eina mikudeshes. Evdimar loy, it's shtari psikta. Okay, Rav Gidl amarav, Rav Gidl amarav. What means shtari psikta? Rashi says shtari psikta means a shtar tenoim. Like we have a shtar tenoim today. Years ago, shtari tenoim were usually written and handed over at the time of the engagement. they still practice that in certain circles. Certainly among many Hasidim, when they invite you to engage in party, it's not just a party, but it's a tenuim, and they write out tenuim at that time. Nowadays we write out tenuim, most people I think write out tenuim at the time of the Kabbalah Spanim, right before the Chasana. To a certain extent, it's a little bit meaningless at that time, because the whole purpose of Ishtar Tenoim is that he says that I'm going to go and arrange for the chasm, and the other side says I'm going to arrange for the chasm, we'll work out all the terms, and blah, 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 blah. Of course, most Tenoim nowadays are a standard text, but what are they really all about? Like our Gemara describes it, how much are you going to give to your son? Are you going to buy him a house? Are you going to go and give him a profession? Are you going to give him a nadin? And kach v'kach, and kach v'kach. And the bitcha kach v'kach, how much is the other mechutin? How much is he putting down for the chasana, etc.? This is what we call tanoim. These type of tanoim, they have to be written out midas shneim. What do they have to be written out midas shneim? So tomorrow, omdu v'kidshu, konu, konu, hein hein advarim aniknim ba'amira. So what Rashi explains is that tenoim do not have to be written down, because although if you just say it ba'amira, there is no kinyan. As soon as they get married, based on these preliminary understandings between the two sides, in other words, the chosin's parents and the kala's parents, or at least the two fathers, met and they banged heads together and they agreed, I'm going to give $1,000 and I'm going to give $1,000. And then a day later or a month later, the chosin and kala go down the aisle and he says, Hari at mekudeshesli. What our Gemara is saying is that the kinyan that they made of the kiddushin, that will cause those preliminary discussions now to be binding. And therefore you don't need to write them down. The kinyan will be the kesef kiddushin. That will be what binds the two sides. And these things are niknam ba'amira, meaning without having to make a formal document or a formal kinyan, and therefore if you want to memorialize the terms in a piece of paper, since typically they're nicknamed by Amira, then what you have to do is you have to go and write it down only bidas shneyan. It has to be with their agreement, with their agreement. Okay, so that's, therefore that Bryce has nothing to do with our case, because we're talking about a Shtar Erisin, and that's talking about a Tanai. Okay, let's get back to our Mishnah. Isha nicknames Bishalish Drach and the Kesar Bishtar, Ube Bia, Frank the Yamara, Ube Bia Minolan, how do I know Bibia? Umra Babo, Umra Biach Rabbi Yamakra. Says Rabbi Yachna, I have a Possek. Says the Possek, the Hebu Ulas Boal. What is this referring to if you have the Torah or Asholim or his base? Kimotzi Ish, Shoichavim Isha Boulas Baal, Umesu Gamshleim or Isha Shoichavi Ima Viha Isha, the Arteram Yisra. This is talking about Chas Shalom, where you have a situation where someone is being mizana with a married woman. So it says in the pasuk, "Ki motzi ish," if someone who's found, shoychev, he's lying with an ishav ulas baal, with a married lady, and of course they're edim and the whole business. Umeisu gam shneim, then you have to go and give them both misa, assuming that she was a fully married lady, in other words, not just an arusa, she was a nisua, then normally the halacha would be chenek. If it happens to be an eshes koyin, then it should be sreifa. But anyway, but bottom line is, the Pasuk used the expression bu'ulas bo'al, which is an unusual expression. Usually the Torah talks about eishes re'ehu, or eishes ish. It doesn't normally refer to bu'ulas bo'al. So I learned from this, says Rabbi Yochanan, malamit shenas la'bal al yidei be'ila. One of the three ways of kiddushin, that he becomes now the orus, the ba'al, is through be'ila. Oh, so that's my makar, the ibu'ulas bo'al. Only Reb Zeila Rabbi Vo, the Amir Reb Shlokish, the Reb Yoichanan, Kaura Zushi Shana Rabbi, Uvi Allah, Malavish Niknas Bibia. Why are you coming up, Reb Yoichanan, with your own psukim? L'chayra, we have a pasuk in the Torah which Rabbi has already adopted, as we'll see shortly in the Gemara. Who's this Rabbi? And this pasuk is very straightforward. This is in the pasuk that talks about marriage. Ki yikach ish isha uvi Allah. And then it talks about vayim loisim tzachein. Then what you have to do is you have to give a get. However, before that, when they are moitzichein, one in the eyes of the other, you could be koyin bevia ki yikach ish isha uvi Allah bevia. So that's how Rebbe learned pshat. Why does Rebbe Yochanan agree with that? Why does he have to bring a pasuk from left field? Vehi beulas baal. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you why. Imi Hasim, if it would only be that pasuk of Rebbe, have a mirad mekadesh v'ad above. Maybe you have to do both. In other words, just like we have Eris and Nisuin, that you have to have one of the three, Keser Shtar Rabia, and subsequently Chuppah, I would think that even for the Kiddushin itself, you have to have both. Because Ki Yikach Ish Isha, Kicha Kicha Mestei Ephraim, you have to pay Kesef, Uvi Allah, and you have to have Bia. Now they are considered to have the initial Darga of Erisin. So you have to have both. Kamash Mulam, that's why my Pasik is better, says Rabbi Yochanan. The Be'ulas Baal, that you only need Be'ila alone, you don't need Kesef Kiddushin. Just Be'ila, and she's already married to her husband. Okay, L'chayra Guta Pshat. Frank Yitzchab Abba Marmam, Masl Rabba Marmam, M.K. Nara Murasa, Yama Rachman, Beskila, Eich Mishkachesla. According to what you just said now, Rabbi Yochanan, that if I would only have the Pasik Yikach Ish Isha Uva'ola, the Drosha of Rabbi, and you wouldn't have the Ibulas Baal, then I wouldn't know that Be'ir causes is a sufficient mode of acquisition. I would think you have to have both Kesef together with Be'ir. If you really believe that, Rabbi Yochanan, then how do you have ever case the Naru Murasa that there's Beskila? Now, when it comes to Naru Murasa, the Pasuk says, Kiya Nara Psula Moirasa Li'ish. You have a Nara Psula, so therefore she has to have three ingredients. Number one, it's got to be a Nara. Number two, it's got to be a Psula, not a Be'ula. And it's got to be a Murasa, that she's an Arusa. What's the din if a man comes now and lives with her? He's being Anasir Chas V'Shalom. Or if he does it Pepitoi and she's Maskim. What's the din? There's a din of Skila. Now, Frank Tachli Yimara, let me understand this. If the only way a Nara can become a Nara Murasa is through both Kesef and Bia, that's how Rabbi Yochanan understands the Pasuk, Yikach Ish Isha Uva'ola, Nehechim Mishkachasla, then you would never have a case where you would get Skila. Why not? Let's see. In the Akish Vahad Boil, if they did a full Maisa Kiddushin, of what? First gave Kesef Kiddushin, and then did a Be'ila, then Be'ulahi, then she's no longer a Nara Psula Mi'oirasa. She's Mo'irasa, but she's not a Psula, because she was already Nivala through her husband. Elamai de Akish Vloiboil, there was only Kesef Kiddushin, and there was no Be'ila, no Bia, no Lav Tlomu. You just said now, Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba the Rebbe, or not Aliba the Rebbe, but looking at this Pasuk alone, I could have thought that maybe Kiddushin entails both. You could never have thought that, because if you can only be a Be'ula, if you can only be a Moirasa, an Arusa, only through the combination of Kesef Kiddushin and Be'ila, then by definition she is a Be'ula, and therefore she cannot be a Psula Moirasa. It's an oxymoron to say that she's both a Psula and she's an Arusa. If she's an Arusa, then she's not a Psula. If she's a Psula, then she's not an Arusa. The two don't work hand in hand, says the Gemara to, says Rabbi Abba Mamamu to Rabbi Yechran. So Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one of the Murabban Kabeina Bayi Mishkachas Lokigon Shibole Orish Loi Kedarka. Ah! We're talking about that the Oris lives with her Shaloi Kedarka, so therefore her Simonim are still intact. But nevertheless, he's made a Maisik Kedusha. We all know it says in the Pasuk, Mishkevei Isha. And the Gemara says, Shtei Mishkoveis B'mashma Mishkevei, both Kedarka and Shaloi Kedarka. Oh, so Rabbi Yochanan's Kasha Nishka Kasha. It could taka be that every Erisin requires both Kesef Kedushin together with a Bia. Then you're saying, but if that's the case, she's not going to be a Psula. No. It's talking about a Bia Shaloi Kedarka, she's still a Psula. And that's the case where if somebody were to go and live with her, it would be a din of Skila. She's a Nara. Psula Moirasa. L'chor is a good teretz. Amli Abayi said to the Rabbanon who gave this teretz, and he said, no, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. Ad kam li b'Rabbi Rabbanon. When do Rabbi Rabbanon have a disagreement? Ele bi acher. Somebody else that lives Shaloi Kedarka. What is that disagreement? We're going to see it in one more line. Aval baal divri ha'koil im bo'oleh shaloi kedarka asa be'ula. her status halachically is, even though her simonim are intact, however, if her baal, her husband, lived with her even shalei kedarka, she has the status of a ba'ula. Pray to Marmahi, what is this machloikis Rabbi Rabbanim that you're talking about? Tesanya Braisa. You have a girl who is a psula, and she is a nara psula mi'oirasa. And laida, bo alea yud anoshim. 10 separate men lived with her. What they call a gang, maisa oinis. So you have 10 men, rachman al-islam. Vadaini psula. But after the 10 biois, she's still a psula. Now how could that be? Because, of course, that's physically impossible. And the answer is that all 10 of them lived with her shaloi kedarka. So she's technically still a psula. What's the din? Kulam beskila. They all get skila because each one of them lived with a nara psula moirasa. As they took the tarakama. Rabbi Oimar, oh no. Oimarani. That Harishai Miskila, the first of the 10 Taki gets Skila, he lived with a Psula, even though he lived with her Shaloi Kedarka, and therefore she still has all the Simonim intact, and even though all the other 9 lived with her Shaloi Kedarka, and the Simonim are intact, all the rest of the guys are Kulan Bechenek, because she is deemed to be a Ba'ula, since she already lived with that first person. So this says the Gemara, said Abaya, there's a machloikis legabe acher, with an acher that lives with her shaloi kedarka, whether he makes her into a ba'ula or she stays a psula. But that's only machloikis legabe acher, but by baal debriya koil, that if the baal lives with her shaloi kedarka, he made her into a ba'ula. How do I know? I think Gemara is going to bring that a little bit later. So that being the case, I'm back to square one. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you're going to learn pshat in the pasuk ki yigach ish isha uva Allah, that you have to have 2 ma'asim to make her into an arusa, you have to go and pay kesef, and you have to have a bia together, then how are you ever going to have the din of skila by nara psula mayrasa? If there was a bia, then she's no longer a psula. If there was no bia, then she's not mayrasa. So what's going on? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it's an issue that you fell like mishkach zlok kitchen b'shtar. Very simple answer. Even if you learn from Ikikach Ish Ishu Va'ola, you have to have a combination of Kesef and Bia together to make an Erisin. That's only by Kesef and Bia, because they are, in a sense, inferior to Shtar. But if he gives her a Shtar, that's enough to make her full-fledged Arusa. You don't need the Kesef, you don't need the Bia, and now if somebody else lives with her, she's still a Psula, and she's Mayrasa. A very simple teretz. Now you're going to ask, why is shtar better than the other 2 kinyanim? Just like when it comes to a get, you don't need anything above and beyond the shtar, the get itself. That's enough. Therefore, it's goyim ro'maitzi, and therefore it's goyim ro'machnes. It's enough for purposes of being machnes for a shtar kiddushin. Oh, zayiget. Anyway, so bottom line is, what the Gemara has told us is we have a machloikis between Rebbe and the Braisa, that learns it from Uvi Allah, that this is a din of Bia. And then we have Rabbi Yochanan that says, even after the Braisa, maybe Rabbi requires both, the Kesef and the Bia, based on the Pasuk of Allah. That's why I have a Pasuk V'Ibulas Baal, to tell you, Bia itself does the trick. That's enough. So now the Gemara is going to ask Rabbi Yochanan, Hay Uva Allah, my Omidlay. So what does he need Uva Allah for? To go and exclude an Omivriya. Only kiyikach ish isha for purposes of kedushin. Uvi Allah, the Allah with a mapike is boil oisa. There you can go and be koina a kicha with bia. But if you're buying an amavriya, you cannot be koina her with bia. Now, on the surface, you say to yourself, of course, he's just buying a shivcha, buying an amma. Why would I think that you can be koina with bia? And the answer is, because one of the major reasons why the Torah was matter, the inyan of a father selling his daughter. And if you think to yourself, you say, isn't that cruelty? A father sells his 5-year-old daughter, 8-year-old daughter to be a slave? Come on. What father would do that? Well, of course, number one, we're talking about poor people. But number two, the Pasuk says that after that, we expect the Odin to be miyayed her. And if he himself is not miyayed, it's like a form of kiddushin, of marrying her. And if the father doesn't do it, then livnoi yodena, then the father or the son could go and marry her. Ah, so this was a good way for a father to go and marry off his daughter and not be concerned that she's going to be number 10,000 in the shidduch crisis. He'll marry her off at the ripe old age of 5 or 8 years old, get a nice husband in the form of the Adai, and he's going to marry her. Ah, it's going to be wonderful. However, when the other person, that Adai, is going to go marry her, that's already a subsequent step. That's not at the time of purchase. The time of purchase, you need kasef, you need money. You cannot be koined bebir. And those are the Gemara. That's why I need uva'ola to go and say only by a wife you can be koined bebir, but not omivriya. So why would I have thought otherwise? So good night to chamina taste the kavachay miyavam. My yavam is she ain't nikkus bebir bekasef, nikkus bebir. If you want to be miyabem yavama, you cannot give money. This is din of maimer, but that's midrabana. Minatoy, you have to do beer. Zuzha nikkus bekasef, and injur nikkus bebir. Oh, since you can buy an omivriya bekasef, then I would think, of course you can buy it with beer. That's why you have to have uviola to exclude. Frank Timura, this kavachim is a shvach kavachim. Because mali yivam is yikin zukuk over emetis. You know why by yibam, beer is enough? Because there was a previous zika. And that previous zika was because there was a previous marriage of Nebuch, the dead brother. In such a case, beer is enough. However, in the case of an omevriya, who you never had any relationship with before, beer should be enough. There's no zika there. Well, what's the habamim? Says Yimon, you know, you're right. Fine. Forget about that kavachayna. But there's another reason why I would think you could be koina and omevriya bibir. So could I take him in hoy luksiv. Vikosav. Imacheris yikach loy. Now this is in the parish of omevriya. Where's the parish of omevriya? It's at the beginning of parish's mishpatim. And it says that if an odin goes and buys an omevriya, and then he lives with her, and they become husband and wife, and then what happens? Imacheris yikach loy. If he decides to marry yet another woman, he has to make sure to give the full complement, the full package of she'er k'sus va'ina to each one of the wives. So now, why does the pasuk say macheres yikachloi? Hakeisha kosu lacheres. The Torah is makish the omevriya to acheres. Acheres meaning a second wife. Ma acheres mekanya bebiya kikach ish ishu va'ola. Av omevriya mekanya bebiya. Ah, so I might have thought. Kabash malon. That's why you have to va'ola. Only the Acheres you can go and take Bebiah. But you can't take the Omevriya Bebiah. Oh, so not that the Havamina was a Kavachimer from Yavama, but rather Al Tzehekish from the word Acheres. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I need Uva'ola to teach us this din to exclude an Omevriya. Frank the Mother Rebbe, Hai Svar Minale, since Rebbe uses Uva'ola to tell us the din that you can be Makadish Bebiah, how does he know to exclude an Omevriya? Says Rabbi Imkin Lichtuachra Uva'al my Uvi Allah Shma Mino Tarti. Rabbi says if we just say the pasuk Yikach Ish Isha Uva'al, then I would know the din of Bia by an Isha. When you want to do Kedushin, Bia is enough. Since it says Uva'Allah, the extra hay says only this woman can you be koina bebia, but another woman you cannot. Who's that other woman that you cannot? That would be the Oma Ivriya. So from Uva'ol, I have two drushes. One to tell you that B is koina, another one to say that B is not koina ba omevriya. Pray to Rava the Omar. Barahina Asbrali. Rava said that a chochem by the name of Barahina explained to me to Rava. Ki kachish ishu va'ola, kidusha mesul nabi have a kidusha, kidusha mesul nabi aloi have a kidushin. My ikalameimar. Rava says that at the time of kidushin, it's got to be a kidushin hamesurin labia. A mesurin labia means that it could lead to the inevitable of the intimacy between husband and wife. A kiddushin that cannot lead to intimacy is worthless. It's not a kiddushin. Now you're wondering, what does that mean, a kiddushin that leads to intimacy? So Rashi tells us, it's talking about a person who is mekadish achas mishtei achoyos. You have Reuven asks Shimon, I give you kesef kiddushin, and I want you to be mekadesh for me one of the two sisters, Rachel and Leah. One of the two. I really don't care which one. So he goes over to Rachel and Leah. Are you maskim? They're both maskim. He says, okay, Rabbi Yisrael, ladies, here I'm putting money on the table. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, whoever takes it, they become the Kiddush. And then Shimon goes back to Reuben and says, Reuben, I have good news for you. I was Mekadosh, one of the two. Which one? I really don't know. We go back to Rochel and Leah. They also don't know. They don't remember. Maybe they had their own shliach that was representing them, a shliach the Kabbalah. The point is, we don't know which one of the two sisters Reuven married. So let him say now, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I'll take Rochel, I'll take Leah. The one that he's really married to, he's married to. The other one is Achois Ishtoi, that's incestuous. He's not allowed to live with the sister of his wife. And therefore, says the Gemara, what happens in such a case? If he decides he just wants to sit on his hands and do nothing, he can do that. And he'll remain Safik Mekudish to one of the two. He'll never be able to consummate the marriage. He can't go live with either one of them because one of them may be his sister-in-law. Says Rava, a Kedushin which is not Mosul Abiyah that you cannot consummate, Le'am Kedushin, the whole Kedushin is worthless. Now, how do we know this drasha? Ki gach ish isha uva Allah. It's got to be a kicha horu'uya lebila. So, Frank Gemara, how does Rava know this drasha, my ikal meima? And for the Gemara, in kein lichtachra, oivi Allah, my uvi Allah, shema mina kulu. Ah, so you can learn all three. If it would just be bo'al alone, I would know the din of kiddushin al yidei bia. If it would say uva Allah, I would know only a woman and not an omnivriya, only a wife, not omnivriya. By the fact that it says uvi Allah instead of oivi Allah, I learn another halacha that it's got to be a kedushin hamoser lebiya. Frank Timur Rabbi Haim Ba'ulas Baal Ma'i Yavad Leh. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan used Ba'ulas Baal to tell you that you can be koinu mebiya. Rabbi uses uvi Allah. What does he do with Ba'ulas Baal? Haim Yavad Leh, what we were discussing before. That Baal oisa oisa ba'ulish loike darka mean achar oisa ba'ulish loike darka. The only one that can make a wife into a ba'ula, even though he lives with her, shaloike darka, is her husband. However, anybody else that lives with her, shaloike darka, she remains a psula. So that's v'hu ba'ulas ba'al. A ba'ila by the ba'al, even though it's shaloike darka, she becomes a ba'ula. Ah, that's what I learned. But what about anybody else? An acher, she remains a psula. Frank Timara, really? Obviously, Rabbi Haiswar, what time you will learn the price is just the opposite. And now we quote the same price that we had before. Ba'ul al-Yuranosh, li'adayini psula. Because they all lived with her shaloi kedarka. Kula meskila, they all have the din of skila. Why? Because she retains her identity as being a psula. Because the psulim, the simana, were not broken through. Rabbi Oimer ani harishin beskila bekulim bechanek. Rabbi says, no, the first one is beskila. Even though he lived with her shaloi kedarka and all the other nine lived with shaloi kedarka, she has the status of a ba'ula. Oh, so I see that Rabbi, it's not only the Baal makes her into a ba'ula shaloi kedarka, but even an acher makes her into a ba'ula shaloi kedarka. It's doch sehr schwer. You just told me I use ba'ula's Baal to go and say, the Baal shaloi kedarka makes her into a ba'ula. V'ein acher oisai shaloi. It's just the opposite. Rabbi says, yes, if they lived with her shaloi kedarka, she is a ba'ula. What's going on over here? Everything Gemara Amr Reb Zeira, boyde Rabbi Linyan Knas, the kulu mishalmi. Ah, legabe misa, there's like a difference in the misa. That according to the Tanakama, kulam beskila. According to Rabbi, she has a din of ba'ula, and they have a din of chenek. But legabe the knas of paying the 50 shkolim, everybody agrees she's a psula. This is very strange. If you ask someone now, this psula, an acher, lived with her, what is her halachic status at this point? According to Rebbe, she's now a ba'ula. If somebody else lives with her, it's chenek. But if that other person lives with her, he still has to pay 50 shkolim as if he lived with a psula. So therefore, she's both a psula legabe knas and she's a ba'ula legabe misa. Pray tomorrow, ma'ishna mitala. So tomorrow, shnani hasim the amakra by ktol. It says umeso isha sher at shachav imah levadoi. That levadoi tells you, says Rashi in the second line, kro yaseiru doksiv ulanar loisase davar. That when it comes legabe the din of Misa, it's only the first guy that lived with her when she was still a psula. Then he goes and gets for that the din of skila. However, the second time, then the next person gets chenek. Why is he different than anybody else? Because it says levadoi. Only this fellow is going to go and get skila. Any subsequent person, whether he lives with her kedarka, shaloi kedarka, it makes no difference. It's going to be chenek. Aha. What did the rabbanim do with that levadoi? Because they say that all of the 10 guys all get skila. What is this talking about? It's talking about if a man, if you look at the Oiz Beis, ki motzi ish sheichem isha b'ulas bo, lo meisu gam shneyem, ho isha sheichem isha avo isha, o v'yar teram yisra. So you have over here, a nara psula, who willingly goes and lives with a, or could you mean they're talking about a nesua? Doesn't make a difference. Anyway, she lives together with a man, and then they both get misa. Now what happens if she was a ketana, and the man that lived with her was a godoil? What would be the din? Clearly you wouldn't go and say, umesu gam shneim, if they both are get killed, because she's a ketana, even if she lives with him willingly, she's a ketana. Ketana is the la bas onshin. So what is that? What does that tell you? So Gemara, k'desanya, umesu gam shneim, achiyu shoven ke'echa divir Reb Yoshia. Reb Yoshia learns that if in fact the girl was a ketana, then even the boy is off the hook, and he does not get Misa. Because the only time you get Misa, if both of them get Misa. There's no such thing as he gets Misa, and she does not get Misa. So therefore, if she's a ketana, then he's off the hook, no Misa. As they took Rabbi Yoshia. Sometimes it's Tak Levadoi that only he gets the Misa, and not her. In which case, a godel who lives with a ktano. Oh, so that's what I need the levadoi for. Assuming that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yonasan, how does he know this din, that even though you live with a ktana, only he gets the misa, even though she gets nothing? After all, Rabbi Yochanan learns this pasuk, omeisa isha shachav ima levadoi, like Rabbi, who's coming to tell you the din of, that there's no din of ktala, that you only have skila by the first guy and not by the other guys. It could have said in the pasuk, "Ki motzi ish shoychem isha buulas ish." Why does it say buulas baal? Oh, so it goes and tells you two things. Number one, the halacha that we're just learning now, legabe a godol mitaktana, or the case of the chenik mitaskila, and he also learned buulas baal to don't tell you the din that Rabbi Yochanan started off with, that how do I know that an isha's nickname is bebia from the pasuk bu'ulas bo'al? Since it could have said bu'ulas ish, I learn both halachas. And with this, we're done, Rabbi Yisai.